Good evening, everybody. We're going to be right back in Ephesians chapter 4 tonight, if you aren't already there. Ephesians chapter 4, and I just wanted to say thank you very much just for your church's warmth and hospitality. Just as we've come, we've really enjoyed our time this morning and then now here this evening with you. And thanks for putting up with a young man trying to, you know, doing my best to speak the word of God. And I pray that God uses what we talk about tonight in our lives, that we would be everything God has intended us to be as Christians. And so we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll start reading in verse 20. The Bible says, "But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Let's open up with prayer again. Lord, I pray that as we study this passage here tonight, that you would just open our hearts up, that you would help me to be clear and concise with my words. And Lord, that your spirit would work in our hearts, that you would soften us so that we are willing to change, Lord, and that this week that we would be that much more like you today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So don't want to rehash all of this morning, but this message tonight and the passage we just read is a continuation of what we spoke on this morning. This morning, we kind of saw God as a doctor, a physician, giving us a diagnosis of who we are without him, basically telling us we are sick and we need someone to give us spiritual healing. And God, of course, is the one who can give us that spiritual healing. So apart from him, we're alienated from him. We are condemned. We're dead in our sins, but he gives us spiritual life. And so now today, or tonight, God kind of takes on the role now of a teacher. And it says here, "But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and been taught by him." So now he moves on from his role as our doctor, as someone telling us you need to be fixed, to now our teacher, someone who is taking us by the hand and leading us and showing us the way that we ought to go. And I don't know, do we have any teachers in here by profession? Okay, we've got at least one, and then Sunday school teachers here. But we understand what a teacher is. It is someone who cares about the students and as best as they can tries to show them whatever the subject matter is, how they can learn it. And a teacher is very invested in making sure that the student understands what's being taught. And so Christ is our teacher. We see his role as teacher all throughout the New Testament through the Gospels as he is the teacher of his disciples, and he's taking 12 men. You see the heart of Christ with those men, how he takes them into his, he shares his wisdom with them. He is taking them into his life, life on life, teaching them. And we have the same chance that the disciples have through the word of God to be discipled by Jesus Christ himself. And so he is our teacher tonight. So again, what we talked about this morning was the problem, if you will, and now this is how we can avoid the problem again. Not that we'll ever lose our salvation, but that tendency that we have to fall back to the old nature, that tendency to act in the way that we were saved from. Now Jesus, as our teacher, he gives us the way to do that, and he kind of just outlines a very simple three-step process. I'm not a huge fan of a 1-2-3 process kind of message, but this is what we're given here in the scripture. Jesus tells us, Paul is writing this, but he's taking it from Jesus. He says, this is what Jesus has taught us. And there's three steps. Put off the old man, be renewed in your mind, and put on the new man. So when we are confronted with a point in our lives where we acknowledge that I have fallen back into the old nature, I've done something that is out of step with Christ. I know I'm a Christian. I know I've been saved. But I've slipped. I've messed up. I've done something. All of us really experience this daily, where we fall back to that old nature. We do what we know we're not supposed to, and it grieves our hearts. We're convicted about the sin. So is there anything that we can do to fix that? Is there something that God has given us to help us to do better at living for Him, living righteously before Him? And He gives us the process here. Put off the old man, reject our old nature, think biblically about this, renew your mind about the problem, and then put on the new man. So what do I do when my behavior reflects the old man? Well, the first thing we're going to look at is the process, these three steps that Paul lays out for us here, that Jesus taught him and he is now teaching us. So, verse 21, verse 22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. I wanted to say this before, but I kind of view this whole process, to me, I compare it to a bad breakup. I don't know if anyone in this room has ever gone through that, a relationship where there was a bad breakup. I kind of put it in the young and immature stages, where it's a teenage relationship maybe, or a college relationship, where there's, you know, the infatuation and the stars are shining and everything is great and, you know, all the googly eyes and everything of the relationship. But then something comes up where the relationship now is broken. I kind of view, essentially, the way I picture this is that God is telling us to view the old man as the old boyfriend or the old girlfriend and view it as a bad breakup. Get rid of that. Forsake it. Get it out of your life. Think about it, rethink your life, and then embrace, I don't want to say embrace the next one, but you know, hopefully you'll find the right one, right? And so I kind of compare it to a bad breakup in a dating situation where we are learning to get rid of the old, bad, poisonous boyfriend or girlfriend, and now embrace the new one, the good one, the one that we want to be our life partner, and that, of course, throughout Scripture is pictured as Christ for us, the church. So again, that's how I picture this. This helps me understand this passage. So when we read this command that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, the first thing we have to do is we have to identify the old man. We have to know what the old man is. The phrase here that ye put off, it literally has the idea of taking off a garment, taking something off, take it off and lay it aside. So we're supposed to take off the old man, but we have to know what the old man looks like in order to take it off. And again, the illustration, I don't know if you did this when you were dating, those of you that are married, where the man gives the sweatshirt. I gave a sweatshirt to my wife at some point. She had it. I don't know where it is now. I know I never got it back. But, you know, so that's, you know, it's one of those cutesy things that you do. You know, she wears your sweatshirt and it's all baggy and everything. And, but essentially for us, the old man, at some point when we were dating, he gave us a sweatshirt, something connected to him that he gave to us. But now we're understanding, okay, this was a poisonous relationship. Our relationship to the old man was negative. It was bad. And so the first step is, I need to identify what clothes came from the old man. What did the old man give me that I don't want anymore? Okay, lay it aside. Take it off and lay it aside. That sweatshirt, thankfully this never happened, but if we had broken up, my wife would have taken that sweatshirt off, balled it up, and chucked it into the river. You know, she would have gotten rid of that, put it off. So you got to know what came from the old man, what actions, what thoughts, what speech that we participate in. What are the things that we know came from the old man? What do we know is that's part of the former conversation. That's part of my former life. Identify it, and then don't get soft or be deceived by it. Look at verse 22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. So two things we learn about the old man is that he's corrupt, he's destructive. He defiles us. He's a poisonous relationship. the old man, but also he's deceitful. He's manipulative. And so our old nature, why do we fall back into the old nature? It's not because we as Christians want to fall back into the old nature. It's because we're deceived by our old nature. We justify it. It's easy for us to, when we slip into sin, it's because something about it, somehow Satan tricked us into thinking that this is actually a good thing for you to do, or it's okay, it's permissible for you to do this in the moment. We're deceived by our desires. So the old man, he's destructive, but he's also deceptive. He tricks us into following our desires instead of following God. Now we're going to get later, we're going to work through some examples, because Paul gives us a whole list of examples of this process. So the first step, put off. Identify what the old man gave you. Don't get soft or deceived. Don't start having thoughts about, oh, well, he was really nice and he bought me that pizza that one time and maybe I should go back to him. No, the idea is, no, take it off and get rid of it. Get the old man out. Any semblance, any memory of the old man, you need to viciously remove that from your life. You do not want the old man in your life, because he's corrupt and he's deceitful. And then, of course, reject it. Throw it out. Put it off. Put off the old man. But then next, in verse 23, he says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Okay, so we've gone through the bad breakup. We understand the old man is a poisonous relationship. We don't want the old man in our life. But now we need to change our thinking. What was it about the old man that was attractive to us? What was it about the old man that tricked us into following him, into obeying him? Now, obviously, our old man, we were born with it. But then now that we've been saved and now we've slipped back into, we've fallen into sin, what was it about that that caused us to sin? What, essentially, we need to identify the problem. What was the thing that told me this is okay for you to do? And then think about it biblically. Why did I do it? But what now, what does the Bible say about that action? What does the Bible say about that thought, about that deed, about that the words that I said? So why did I fall into it? What was it that motivated me to do that? And what does the Bible say about that motivation? Or what does the Bible say specifically about that action? So renew your mind. Put off the old man. Get rid of it. Don't be soft. Don't be sentimental with the old man. No, the old man is poisonous and he needs to be kicked out. Kick out the old man. And then renew your mind. Think about it biblically. Think about the old man. Why am I falling for this? And what does the Bible say about it? And then the third step of the process, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So now we've put off, we've renewed our mind, but now put on the new man. Now embrace the good thing, God's nature. Now embrace what we know is true and right about God. It's never enough to just remove something from your life. I've heard it many times compared to creating a vacuum. A vacuum will always fill itself. And so if we remove a bad behavior from our life, that's great. That's the first step of the process. But the renewing of our mind and then putting something back in place is just as important, because if you remove a bad habit, something will fill that. And God's wisdom tells us you need to fill it with something good. Don't just let whatever fills it fill it. Many times we jump from one vice to another because we get the vice out, but then we need something else to help us cope, and so we fill it with another vice. So put off, get rid of it, renew our mind about it, think about it biblically, but then we need to replace it with something that is good and healthy, good and helpful. Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Do you know that about yourself? Do you know that when you put faith in Jesus Christ, you are made a new creature? You are made something that is not your natural person? God recreated you. You're a new creature spiritually. And the way he created you is after himself. We are made in the image of God, whether saved or unsaved. That was something God did at creation, but through sin, that image has been corrupted, and we don't reflect the glory of God like we should. But then when we get saved, God recreates himself in us, and he says, okay, now I'll make you new again, and I'll restore that image. And then we try to live up to it. You know, we do our best to walk with God and to give, essentially to live like we ought to based on who we are. Now, we fail. That's true, and that is a part of life, but it's not where we stay. It's not where we want to live. So put on the new man, which is created after God. We are remade in his image, and we are created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, both of those words, when you study them out, this is not about my performance. This is not God created me so that I now do nothing wrong. No, he created me in righteousness, and that is his righteousness. So that when God looks at me, he doesn't see Justin and the right things that Justin does. He sees his son, Jesus Christ, in me. And he sees me as righteous through Jesus. And so that's something that will never change. I will never, if I can say it this way, I will never fall out of favor with God, because when he looks at me, he sees his son. Now, certainly as a father, he will guide and correct, and there will be times where there will be punishment. There will be corrective action that the father needs to take. But I will never be unrighteous to the father. I want to be careful how I say this. Because I don't want to give the wrong impression that all of a sudden now there's just nothing, no chance for us to sin. But we will never lose that status of being right with God. We will never lose that status because Jesus Christ puts us in favor with him. And so then our status with God is not dependent on how good or how bad we were today. It's based on the righteousness of Jesus. Now, certainly, day to day, we are to practice righteousness and continue to develop in that, because that is part of God's witness to the world. As people see the righteousness of believers, they see the righteousness of God, and that is our witness to the world, and it's the way that we bring people to faith. We're created in righteousness and true holiness, not false piety, not the again, the cinching up of the tie and the buttoning of the suit and this outward holiness. No, this is true holiness. We're created in the holiness of God, God who is completely separate from evil. And we're recreated in his righteousness and his holiness. We are pure before God. And so now what God wants us to do is live in light of that. Now try to live up to that with his help. So that's the process. Put off the old man, renew your mind, and put on the new man. But now we get to the practice of it. And this is now where Paul gives us some daily life examples in verses 25 to 32. Verse 25, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." Do you see the three-step process there? Here it's a little bit out of order, but "wherefore, putting away lying," putting off the old man. We know lying is a mark of the old man. It's a characteristic of who we used to be. But God has recreated us in righteousness and true holiness. That is not who I'm intended to be. Lying is something that God forbids. So I'm going to reject lying. I'm going to put off the old man, cast it aside. "Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." So there we see the renewing of the mind. This is the biblical thinking of that. So again, I just lied. That was the nature of the old man. I need to reject that. No, that was wrong. I need to get the old man out. Now what do? Well, I renew my mind and I think about it biblically. And the Bible tells us that we are members one of another. God has brought us into unity, so for me to lie to Justin is illogical when we think about it this way. We're members with each other. Why would I lie to someone who I love and who God has united me to? Why would I lie to someone? So think about it biblically. We don't lie because God commanded that we not lie, but also the practicality of it is, no, as believers, we love each other. We trust each other. There is, as you were talking about in Sunday school, there shouldn't be judgment when we admit our faults, when we struggle with things. There should be communion. There should be understanding between us. So put off the lying. Renew our minds about why we don't lie. Well, I love my brother, so I will not lie to my brother. And then now, put on the new man. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. So don't just stop lying, but now make it active and make it positive. And now speak truth. Don't just clam up and never talk again. Well, if I don't talk, I won't lie. Okay, well, yeah, I mean, that's one way to do it, I guess. But no, the Bible has more in store for us. It's not that God just wants us to not sin. That's never the point of the Christian life. The Christian life is not about not sinning. The Christian life is about living like Jesus. Jesus didn't come to this earth to not sin. No, Jesus came to this earth to seek and to save that which was lost. There was action to what Jesus was doing. So we don't just put off the old man. Now we replace it with positive action. Now I'm not just going to not lie. I'm going to speak the truth. I'm not just going to be silent when I see that someone needs to hear the truth. I'm going to speak the truth when it's needed. And I'm going to speak the truth even when it hurts me. Because here again, we talked about putting off the old man. Sometimes we justify it. Well, I didn't want to hurt the person, so I lied. Or I knew my job depended on it, so I lied. Well, that's us justifying why the old man is okay. But here our prescription from Christ, his teaching is, no, reject the old man. Cast it out. The old man lies. The new man does not. Think about it biblically. And now speak truth. Be honest. Tell the truth. Actively tell the truth. Let's look at verse 26. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Be angry and sin not. Okay, so there's the putting off the old man. When you are angry, do not act out in anger is essentially the thought there. Be angry, but don't sin. We have to be careful about being angry. You know, people talk, they kind of justify their anger with, well, it's righteous indignation. Okay, be very careful when you say that. You are not Jesus. Jesus had righteous indignation. Many times our indignation is not righteous. Our indignation is selfish and self-serving. But here he does permit. Be angry, but when you're angry, don't sin. Put off the old man. Don't act out in anger. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. So put off the old man, and then put on the new man. Now, that was a bad example, because it doesn't do the three-step process. This is still, it's very true, but it's not accomplishing what I was trying to accomplish here. But verse 28 does. So let's look at verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing that which is good, that he may give, that he may have to give to him that needeth. So do you see again the three-step process that Paul is teaching us here? Let him that steals or stole steal no more. Put off the old man. The old man takes what is not his. Reject that. Don't justify it. Don't say, well, I was really hungry, so I needed it. No, there is no justification for it. Put off the old man. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor. There we see putting on the new man. So not only are we not stealing, but now we are actively laboring, working with his hands the thing which is good. So now, not stealing, now we're working for the things that we receive. Why? The renewing of our mind, that he may have in order to give to him that needeth. So not only are we not stealing, we reject that, that's the old man. We want to labor, we want to do what is right, put on the new man, but the reasoning behind it is so that we have something to give to someone else who is in need. So now again, it's replacing that vacuum that we've created by removing a vice. Now replacing it with something good, something positive, something God-honoring, which is giving to those that need. You know, someone may justify the fact that they stole because they were in need. Well, now you can, sorry, so you may justify the fact that you stole, well, because I was in need. But then you reject that, you change your mind about it, and now you're working to provide for those that need so that they don't fall in the same trap that you did when you stole. So now you're preventing someone else from being in the same situation where now they are left needing, that temptation has been removed because you've now provided them something where they don't have the need to steal. So again, you see it. I don't want to beat this into the ground. This is the practice. The process, put off the old man. He is deceptive. He is corrupting. He is destructive. Put him off. Don't waste time with him. Don't dilly-dally with him because of his deception. Reject the old man. If you see something in your life, whether it be anger or bitterness or an action, pride, when you see those things, recognize that is something the old man gave me and I need to get rid of that. Throw it out. Be renewed in your mind. Rethink about that. Think about it the way God would think about it. Now, the only way we can do that is by knowing Scripture. We can't think biblically if we don't know the Bible. And so, really, the high point of this process is being renewed in our mind, changing the way we think. And the way we change the way we think is through the Bible, through Scripture. As we know Scripture, we then can renew our minds about the way we're acting, the way we live, and we can change our actions. Put off the old man, be renewed in your mind, and put on the new man. And then you can apply this to any situation in life where you're tempted to sin. Well, how does this reflect the old man? Okay, reject that. What does God say about this? Okay, I've renewed my mind. I now know, rather than thinking in the vanity of my sinful mind, I'm now thinking in the beauty and the fullness and the purpose of God's mind. Renewed my mind, and now replace it with what God prescribes as the true, proper, and positive action. So God is our teacher tonight. He's given us this lesson, a three-step process for what to do when we begin acting like the old nature. And I pray that this is something simple and practical that we can apply every day of our lives, and that with God's help, we will continue to apply this process to change the way we think, to change the way we act, so that we honor God. Because this church is a city set on a hill. This church is a light to the world. We are the salt of the earth. So let us reflect our God so that we can be a witness and a light to the world around us, and let them experience new life in Christ like we've experienced. So let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness to us, Lord, and thank you for your grace in doing everything needed for salvation, Lord. Thank you for helping us through the Christian life. And Lord, though we know that you are the reason and the only way that we can do right, we do understand that we have personal responsibility to do it. So Lord, I pray that this process you've given us, Lord, would be something that we can take with us and have in our pocket for as we face temptation, that you would help us to conquer the old man and instead to be renewed in our mind and live like the new man you've created us to be. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.